Hey, what's up, guys? My name is May, aka DJ Mayhem, and I'll be hosting The Mood with May here on CFRC 101.9 FM every Wednesday from 11 until noon. Tune in weekly to hear me explore music and artists across genres and decades, curated around a different vibe or category each time. Whether you love finding new music just like me or you want to switch it up a bit, I'll have plenty to offer. Follow me on Instagram at The Mood with May for updates and more information, or my show page on.
Hi, you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. It's Thursday at 11 a.m. and you're tuned into the CFRC Live Sessions. It's where we broadcast half an hour of candid music and interview with a band or artist. This week, we've got a little holiday surprise with Danielle Hope and some wintertime tunes. She's a singer-songwriter from Southern Ontario. Be sure to check out Danny's music on any streaming platform and YouTube, and follow her Instagram, @DanielleHopeMusic_. There's new stuff on the way from her, including a new music video for her song Blue Skies, which you don't want to miss out on. As this is one of the last sessions of the year, the CFRC Live Sessions team would like to thank all you listeners for the support we've been receiving. There's so much more coming in the new year, so stay tuned. As always, you can find us on Instagram at CFRC Live Sessions, and check out our YouTube channel where we've been posting videos of these sessions. It's so totally cool. So, I hope you enjoy the session, and I hope you have a happy holidays.
Hey, it's Hayden with CFRC Live. I'm here in Studio A with Danielle Hope. Danielle, how are you doing?
Hey, Hayden. I'm pretty good. Great today.
Danny is an exquisite piano player and singer, songwriter from Kingston. Well, not from Kingston originally. Where are you from originally, Danny?
Prince Edward County, so literally next door.
Okay.
But not too far.
But then you came on over here for Queens.
Yes.
And started putting out recording music. Was your first recorded music coming out sort of around 2020 or so?
Yeah, I had a single that I released in 2020 called Love Stands.
Mm-hmm.
And then I released a second single called Your Truth. And then Blue Skies, the EP, was released in January of 2023.
And you might recognize Danny's hat right now if you listen to that Blue Skies EP. But for those who haven't listened to the Blue Skies EP, talk about the sound of that, because it's kind of got this sort of upbeat, springish mm-hmm. piano pop sound. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Blue Skies, I think the order arrangement is just so lovingly chaotic, and I like it that way because it was literally the story of my life. It starts out with Blue Skies, which is like the name of the EP, and it goes into this song called Gray Lines, which is kind of like, you know, acoustic guitar kind of, and then Adore You is like this kind of flowery, like poetic song, and then Coming Home is like this pop, like out of the blue song. But it really was just telling kind of the story of my life, of what Blue Skies was. I wrote each of those songs at different moments in the span of like 5 years or so. But yeah.
And where do you tend to draw your sound from? Like, we can get more into your mm-hmm. sort of musical background, because yeah. that's a whole story with you. But right. like, when you're just thinking about songwriting, like, what styles of music are you mainly drawing from?
Honestly, so I grew up with like soul and like R&B and like old gospel. Like, my parents are oldies, so I grew up with that. So a lot of the songs I listen to is like they're drawing from their own experiences, like Whitney Houston or like Ella Fitzgerald, or like people that were just drawing from their personal experiences and putting it into a song, so that when you heard it, you like felt it, either if it related to your own experience or you felt like, oh, they're talking about something here. So I think that when I write, I try to draw from, well, it's always drawing just from within me, and to just allow people to feel like either that hope or that space to feel those sad emotions that I've definitely had. Music where I'm like, yeah, music allows me to either feel this or feel safe to feel that. So I want to be a part of that too.
You mentioned before that you grew up in a family of seven.
Yes.
Was it a musical family, or are you the outlier?
Ooh, no, I am not the outlier. If anything, yeah, I'm not the outlier. All seven of us, my mom and my dad, they both sing. My mom plays piano, so she encouraged us to play piano. I've gotten in trouble for saying that she forced us to play piano, but we all learned piano, and then we branched off into different instruments like guitar, drums, ukulele. My sister played the saxophone, I think it was, or the trumpet, and bass. So we all kind of just do our own thing. We like to jam together, so it's pretty cool.
But you've gone down this whole journey of songwriting and creating your own space as an artist.
Yeah.
Tell us about the first song that we're going to hear today.
The first song you're going to hear today is Blue Skies, and it is the main song of the Blue Skies EP. And Blue Skies the chorus is about joy, like joy that's all around, joy that's to be found, oh, there's joy. And it's really ironic because I wrote that song when I was dealing with seasonal depression. And that was the point of the song. I was just like, play with my ukulele. I had the original clip on Instagram. And it was literally about, like, even in those times where it's like in darkness or just feeling like super low and just like you don't feel happy, like there's still joy. And I believe there's a difference between happiness and joy. Like joy is kind of like in spite of circumstance, and happiness is like by the circumstance. So like whether like you find joy in like either knowing like your worth or like knowing who you are, like for me, I find my joy in God, and that's something that has just stayed consistent, so I stick with it. But yeah, just finding that joy even in like the dark places that you might be going through. So
okay, beautiful.
Oh, I got blue skies, blue mountains over me, yeah. And I want gray skies that promise me new beginning, yeah. We kept rushing our lives away, we never stopped to enjoy the day, and it's our come and stay to be unhappy now when there's joy, joy that's all around us waiting to be found, yeah. No, there's joy, and joy that's from above wrapped in this perfect love. Oh, there's joy. That we find in misery, maybe it helps just to be able to know it's not just me. And I look up in the blue skies and understand, I see all of the gray skies, I know the plan, it'll be okay. Cause I got a feeling, oh, it's this little spark of hope, I will find my way home and I'll take you there with me. Oh, baby, just believe there is joy. Joy that's all around us, waiting to be found, yeah. No, there's joy. And joy that's from above, wrapped in this perfect love. Oh, there's joy. Ooh. Oh, there's joy, and not the temporary feeling is joy. It fills your heart, it fills your soul, and I can't express or explain. I just really want you to know, baby, there is joy. Joy that's all around us, waiting to be found. Oh, there's joy, joy that's from above, wrapped in this perfect love. Oh, there's joy, joy that's all about us, waiting to be found, yeah. No, there's joy. In the blue skies and understand, I see all of the gray skies, I know the plan, it'll be okay. Cause I got a feeling, oh, there's joy.
All right, I'm back in Studio A, CFRC Live, with Danielle Hope. Danny, that was beautiful.
Thanks, Hayden. Super fun.
Before the song there, we were talking a little bit about sort of the wintertime vibe and the potential seasonal depression sort of vibe.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the other side of that, which is the beautiful music that comes out of the wintertime in a happy way. You're a Christmas music fan.
So much.
Talk to us about that.
So I love Christmas time. If it's my favorite time to do gigs, it is Christmas time. Only just because those old holiday tunes, I love it. But it's also just like this feeling of just like kind of not giddiness, but just like nostalgia in a way. So when this next song that's coming up that I wrote, I was kind of getting the nostalgia of just like being inside a coffee shop and like looking out in the snow, and like you're a little bit of romance in the song, but just like that feeling of like, you know, holidays are here, snow is here. It's that kind of vibe.
There's something about like, I think Christmas music gets a bad reputation because of Christmas music that isn't good, but it makes people forget there's this whole world of like those beautiful old songs that get passed down and get redone in all these kinds of beautiful ways. You mentioned Ella Fitzgerald before the break. She's got beautiful Christmas music.
Yes.
There's like jazz almost. Like Christmas is the time when jazz really gets to shine like everywhere.
Like Christmas time in the Charlie Brown Christmas.
Charlie
like,
Brown. Oscar Peterson Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah. There's all kinds of stuff like that. Do you draw from that kind of like old Christmas jazz when you're writing things like this?
I would say so. I would say I don't do it to the degree that I would like to. Like, I definitely, there's still, like, my sister can, like, nail it. But for myself, I'm like, I just want to get there. Like, just to get a similar sound.
Yeah.
But it is an inspiration.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And there's something different about, you mentioned, like, the feeling of being in the coffee shop and looking out at the cold. Mm-hmm. It's like the inverse of the summertime feeling of being in the air conditioning. You step into the AC, out of the heat. Like, Do you feel like you draw more comfort in the wintertime from that sort of like?
Here's the thing. I was not made for the winter, and winter was not made for me. But if I'm inside that coffee shop and looking out the window, it is a good vibe.
It's like a feeling of defeating your enemy, the winter.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
I mean, shout out to winter, but like, we don't jazz together.
But it does bring a beautiful Christmas music vibe.
Yes.
You posted recently on your Instagram a clip of you just improvising, just out of nowhere, music. Mm-hmm. And I want to know about how you find the balance between, like, meticulously writing a song versus spur-of-the-moment creativity.
I would say, like, those spur-of-the-moment songs, it's like there is a song that just happens to pop out within me, and I have to do it right then and there. Like, with Coffee in the Snow, I was literally, like, just playing this tune. I was like, this sounds almost Christmassy. And then I was talking to my boyfriend. I was like, give me a theme right now. And he was just like, coffee shop. And I was like, okay, here we go. And then I got Coffee in the Snow. That's also how Adore You was written, on Blue Skies. But then there's those times with those songs that I just take the time. I'm like, okay, I want to tell a story here. I want to tell a specific story. And sometimes I literally forget about those songs and then come back to it like a year later. Like, oh, I forgot that one. Let me finish that one up. So there's really no in between, but it's still like just me expressing myself in different spur of the moment longevity ways.
Right. And then let's try and talk briefly about love, which I think is a theme that is sort of pervasive in a lot of your music. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you work around the theme of love and pulling from it into writing music? Because it's like, it's a big sort of thing to try and write about.
So I'm a hopeless romantic, so I just love that feel. But also just from a poet side, I feel like a lot of poets will write from a personal experience, but also from what they've observed. So often I like think of like an image of like someone who might love someone or might not know the other person, kind of, and I'm just observing that and kind of writing from a poet's perspective. But yeah, I think it's just beautiful.
Amazing. Let's get into the next song. This is Coffee in the Snow by Danielle Hope.
Yeah.
Will we, oh, will we, oh, will we, oh, will we have coffee in the snow? Oh, is staring my coffee cup, 'cause looking at you has got me all choked up. The coffee shop is warm, and I don't want this to end. Perhaps we could continue with a walk instead. The snow is falling, falling, falling. My heart is yearning, and my eyes wander to see, to my surprise, the snow and coffee with you makes my heart delight. It's almost time for Christmas. I don't want to miss this. Let's go for a walk. Let's not diss this. I just don't want to miss this. Can we, oh, will we, oh, will we, oh, will we have coffee in the snow? Have coffee in the snow. Christmas lights twinkle in the shop. Oh, coffee with you has made me happier than I'd ever thought. The snow's falling down, and can we go for a walk? If you've got to go, I understand, but if you'd stay, that'd be so grand. I thank God for this moment, to have you in it. And my eyes wander to see, to my surprise, that coffee and snow with you makes my heart delight. It's almost time for Christmas. I don't want to miss this. Let's go for a walk. Let's not diss this. I just don't want to miss this. Can we, oh, will we, oh, will we, oh, will we have coffee in the snow? That it's time to bid you adieu, as the jingle bells start to chime to the tune of my heart. And as we put on a winter coat to head on our side, let's have coffee in the snow. Can we, oh, will we, oh, will we, oh, my eyes wander to see, to my surprise, that coffee and snow with you make my heart delight. Oh, it's almost time for Christmas. I don't want to miss this. Let's go for a walk. Let's not ditch this. I just don't want to miss this. So will we, oh, will we, oh, will we, oh, will we have coffee in the snow? Oh, have coffee in the snow. Will we have coffee in the snow?
We're back in CFRC Studio A with Danielle Hope. Danielle, that was amazing.
Hey, thank you. It was fun.
Let's try and look forward into the future now. You've got that EP that came out way back in January 2023. Yeah. But what does Danielle Hope's 2024 look like?
Well, I will give you a sneak peek into 2024, that Coming Home, the song on the EP, Blue Skies, will have a music video coming out in March.
And have you filmed that video yet as of recording this?
As of recording this, literally next weekend I will be recording it.
What's the prep like for that? Because you haven't done sort of something big and visual like that before.
Never. So it is like a very new experience. I'm working with Little Friday and they've been really amazing with just like getting stuff like permits or just being on the ball and getting ideas and collabing. So I'm super stoked. I'm like, this is my first time. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. But then I'm like, oh, I do this. But I'm really excited for it.
That's amazing. And then you've given us a couple new songs today. Mm-hmm. Are those going to be recorded and released, hopefully?
Yeah, that is the plan. I do intend, I'm in my last year of my second degree, so I do intend to finish that first. I tried the whole recording in school and working. Never again. So as soon as I'm done school, you will be getting some new music.
Okay. And Danny, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at DanielleHopeMusic_. You can find me on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, any streaming platform, YouTube, to listen to my music. And yeah.
Okay. And keep an eye out because there's beautiful old stuff out there and new stuff on the way.
Yeah.
Danielle Hope, thanks for coming in. Thanks for talking. What's so this much. Last song we're going to hear to take us out?
You are going to hear a song that is to be named. So it is a brand new song that I literally wrote this week of like a conversation. And if you listen to it and think of a name, just hop onto my Instagram and let me know because I love having people's inputs on what to name something. So I hope that you all enjoy this song and can pop on a name in my DMs.
All right. Unnamed song. Let's hear it.
For my taste, but you still hung around, patiently waiting. I didn't give you the time of day you were deserving. So why did you wait for me when I didn't wait for you? It's not fair. I checked the message and found it was all I'd ever needed. If I'd given you a second, you called, and then you never gave up. And if I'd just given you a minute, I would see that you were in it. You tell me just come as you are. So far, I couldn't see that you were all I need. And I don't give enough to the God above who made the stars. He made them all. If I could give you just 1 second. Hmm. sisters, he made them up. Oh, I gave you just 1 second. I looked into your eyes, and then I could see that you were calling me. You said it was always me.
Hi again, you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. You're tuned into the CFRC live sessions and we've just come to the end of Danielle Hopes. She's a singer-songwriter from Southern Ontario and her music is awesome, so be sure to check her out. You can find her on all streaming platforms, on YouTube, and her Instagram, at DanielleHopeMusic_. She has new stuff on the way, including a music video for her song Blue Skies, which you don't want to miss out on. If you enjoyed this session, you're in luck because we've got another one happening next Thursday at 11. Be sure to tune in for that. In the meantime, you can find us on the CFRC website, on Instagram, and on our YouTube channel. We've been posting videos of our sessions there, and they're so cool. You have to check them out. Thanks for stopping by and have a happy holidays. We'll see you next Thursday.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present Nolan Hubbard's latest single, I Won't Lie, released November 22nd from his second EP and debut release under his new indie label, Kingsville Records. This 5-track collection captures the artist's journey through self-discovery and relationships in his early 20s, showing a growth from his 2017 debut, Luminosity. Now 28, Hubbard describes this EP as the culmination of his evolving sound, blending soulful harmonies, layered fingerstyle guitar, and genre-bending instrumentation. While rooted in pop folk, the record explores fresh influences like alternative, reggae, hip-hop, and country, balancing creative freedom with a clear pop sensibility. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream I Won't Lie on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
I'm doing fine. Got messed up again. Stop seeing all my friends. I was stuck in my head about the way someone said. Looked like a mess. Now I know what they meant. Man, I just need some rest. Probably meant me the best. Yeah. Been on stupid, no. You don't gotta worry what I'm working on. Those days are gone. Can't hear anybody tell me wrong. I think I just need a break. Put me on a boat in a big old lake. Can't help myself, I'm doing fine. Yeah, I'm feeling good, no, I won't lie. Got the recipe, wherever I'm cooking is a place to be. Not like obsessively, we'll have a good time on any street. Well, if you wanna ride with me, gotta find time for the comedy. Have a kind of attitude, a little bit of authenticity. Can't help myself, I'm doing fine. Yeah, I'm feeling good, no, I'm not afraid to
CFRC from Kingston, Ontario. Your volunteer program, campus and community radio at 101.9 FM and on the web at cfrc.ca.
Today on Wings, Diana Wanyonyi interviews Agnes Lena, an indigenous climate activist from the Herding region of Kenya, who acts both locally and globally.
There's nothing that comes to you in a silver platter here.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
My name is Agnes Lena. I'm originally from Samburu County, from a place called Baragoi. And then I got married. Now my home is in Kajiado because that's where my husband comes from. And then I started an organization called Ilara Matak, Community Concerns. That means caregivers or caretakers, pastoralists, people who actually depend on livestock for their livelihoods, people who take care of cows and goats. But, you know, it also denotes caregiving for even for human beings and even for nature. So we are caregivers. That's what I always say, that our organization is like an organization of that takes care, that gives care to not just our livestock, but also to human beings and to our environment, to nature. So my passion on environmental issues and climate change, it's always been that climate change is affecting all of us, but it affects women in a more unique and special way. Women spend, according to even statistics, women spend 2 million hours fetching water. And pastoralist women are the ones who are most affected by that issue about water. When I was younger, when I was in primary school, I spent 20 minutes, because there was a small stream next to my mother's house, 20 minutes to and fro to go and fetch water. And then sometimes maybe half an hour, because you know kids go and play. And then with time, just walking. Then with time, that small stream, because of climate change issues and all that, the water went deeper and deeper. So during the season when the water goes deeper, we walk for 1 hour, another 1 hour, which means 2 hours to and fro, to fetch water in another river. It's called actually River Baragoi. Then with time also again, because of climate change, that goes even deeper and the water goes, you know, you just used to scoop the sand and you get the water. And now you have to scoop even deeper and deeper. And sometimes you just get nothing. So we go to another place, which is now 2 hours one way and 2 hours another way, which is 4 hours both ways. So, and then do you know how much water you're going to fetch? You're only going to fetch 20 liters of water. So that's 4 hours, 20 liters of water. It's not enough because you'll use that water for cooking food, washing utensils, washing uniform because I was in primary school, washing myself, you know, a body for all of us because we were three of us. And of course, for home use, it's not enough. So that wastes a lot of, as a child, a student in the primary school, it meant the next day I'm not going to school. Why? Because I'm so tired, having worked for 4 hours. It means we'll not have enough water to wash my uniform. I will be beaten if the uniform is dirty. So I have to remain behind and do that. Thirdly, I will not go because I've not done my homework. So that means missing class. So how many girls miss class because of that? And the situation has not changed much. It's still the same. Most pastoralists fetch their water from streams, downstreams, everywhere you go. We don't have running water. My mother passed away, may the Lord rest her soul in peace, 3 years ago. And even by the time she passed on, she did not have running tap water. And the first thing I had told my mother, when I grow up, I will buy for you a tank. And I did it, so that my mother doesn't have to struggle with water in her old age. So it means you'll just get surface run of water. So now what's happening is that we're struggling to find our parents the plastic tanks, the big plastic tanks, to get surface run of water. You can also get that only if you have an iron sheet roof. Because if you do not have that, you cannot also collect the water. So that's just an example of how women are affected by climate change. Women have no time to do anything else. They have no productive hours to do anything else like business, fend for their children, even take care of themselves. Because they have to spend so much money, so many hours going to fetch water. And then after that, you still haven't fetched firewood. You still haven't cooked the food. You still haven't washed the utensils. You still haven't washed the uniforms for your children and for the clothes for your family. So all that, if you look at it, it really takes a toll on women, especially women in Africa. I do not know about women from other parts of the world, and especially pastoralist women. So those are the issues that made me think I need to work around issues of climate change for women, for pastoralist women, so that I see what we can do in order to lessen the hours of walking for water, lessen the hours of walking for firewood, and just have some hours for the woman to fend for herself and to have an alternative livelihood. So then, my husband and I came up with an idea of an alternative livelihood, and we have a resource center. How that came about is that we got friends from Houston Northwest Church, World Hope Ministries, and they just asked Agnes, "What would you like us to do for you and for the women and girls in your community?" And I said, "Buy for us machines, sewing machines." So just like that, they bought for us 10 of them. So, and I said, I cannot deck them to my house. The community gave us 1 acre of land. Okay, the land is here. What do? We must build a place where we can put these sewing machines. My husband and I sold 10 cows. It's not easy for a massive man, a pastoralist man, to sell cows. But he did, to support the cause. He sold 30 cows, and we made the resource center. We actually made it a very big deal, and we called the media, and we called friends from the county and outside to come and witness when we launched the project. So in this resource center, women come and sew uniforms. They make mats. It's very interesting, and I just love to see a pastoralist woman making mats. It's not easy. Usually they would just be sitting to do beads, but this is mats. Then they make bags. Mm-hmm. In fact, recently when we had when we launched our policy on FGM, we were given a tender to do 50 of those bags. So what else would you call that? You would call it alternative livelihood. And what else would you call it? You'll call it activities that are non-climate dependent. So at least when they are not looking after that one goat or that one cow for the whole day, mm-hmm. they'll have something else that they will be doing. And they have a place where they will do it. Yes.
Wow. That's very inspiring. Wow.
Thank you.
Wow. Now, what is the role of these women in matters of combating climate change?
Well, climate change jargon is so scientific. We don't use all those scientific jargons. We have a calendar to say what it is that you can do. We have our own seasons and we know them by name. And that's the only way to explain what climate change means.
But please, just elaborate on that calendar.
Yes. Yeah, so
it works.
In this calendar, we know that from this month to the months are also in Maasai name, in Maasai words. From this month to this month, we know we have long rains. And then from November again and December, we know we have short trains. So we know the time the boys will be circumcised, because then we know that's the time they will be able to rest. Then they will be trained about their culture. Mm-hmm. Usually it takes a whole year, but things are changing because of school. So now all that has reduced. Mm-hmm. And then looking also at that calendar again, we choose to change because now things are no longer the way they used to be. So that's how we explain what climate change means. Okay. And then we have films. We bring women, the whole community even sometimes, to the hall and show them a film.
Broadcasting in which language?
In Swahili, but we translate. In fact, we say prior what it's all about. And most people these days know Swahili. There are few who don't know. And then I can just give an example. We show a film of Mother Martha Wangari. Wangari Madai. and her tree planting exercise and initiative. Because when you explain about tree planting, they don't understand. These are pastoralist people. So planting things is not part of us. In fact, plucking them is one. Because we don't understand. We use rangeland for pastoralism and for livestock. So planting things is not in our culture, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But now we have to do it. So we show this film, for instance, and then we tell them, so what did you see? Oh, we saw a woman planting trees and all that, and then see the harshness she went through and the beating and all that, and it makes them sad, what it makes them feel, and what it makes them do. Want to do. And at the end of the day, they said, it makes us want to plant trees. So we go and bring the trees. And we deliberately bring trees that they know. For instance, the fig tree is called Olngaboli. We bring that kind of tree and tell them this is the tree to plant. Then we plant. We bring acacia trees because they are familiar to that and they know it. We bring fruit trees. Because at least these ones will be eaten. This is part of the food. And that's now what pastoralist women are doing. And we also have a community farm where we plant food. That is alternative livelihoods for us. Okay. And it's an adaptation measure. And even the things I was telling you about the mats and the beadwork and all that, those are all nothing but adaptation and resilience projects for our women.
On Wings, you're hearing Agnes Lena, an indigenous climate activist from the Herding region of Kenya, talking with Diana Wanyonyi.
You spoke about something interesting about how you can detect the effect of climate through intestines of a goat. Can you just take me through this indigenous prediction and method?
Especially in Samburu County, where I come from, we grew up knowing that the weatherman is the astrologer. He is the one who looks at the stars and tells us when it rains. And the issue about stars is a shared knowledge among almost all pastoralist communities. Last December, my father-in-law told my husband, it's going to rain. We were almost despairing. And my husband asked, why? He said, I've seen the star. This evening when you come out, come, I show you the star. Indeed, the star was being talked about in the entire Kajiado County.
It was there?
Yes. And indeed, it rained.
How unique is that star from other stars?
Well, it's the size of it and the name. They even have a name for it.
Is it bigger? Is it
it's more? Bigger. It's bigger and it's brighter.
What is the name?
Well, I don't know the name. Okay. I have to ask, but it has a name.
Does it appear yearly?
No. It just comes when you're anticipating rain, you see it, and the elders know. So we are busy in towns and doing our own things, but those things are there. The stars are there. So what we want to do is...
And it rained?
Absolutely. It didn't even go one day. It didn't even pass one day. It just rained. As soon as he said it will rain, it will rain. And it rained. Even when I was growing up, the astrologer, his name is Lesepen, he would come and tell us about the two stars. One of them is the father and then the son. And if the father is on top, he will not urinate to the son. Definitely, you cannot imagine your father urinating on you.
True.
So definitely that means dryness. There's no rain. But if the smaller star is on top and the bigger star is below, definitely. The
it
child.
Will rain.
Yes, that's the child and the father. It will rain. And that's traditional knowledge. Yeah.
Because these old people are not learned by then.
No.
And they could still predict such.
To date. Not just then. To date. We still listen to them more than the weatherman. We complement the tradition and the science. So take the traditional man to the meteorological department and bring the weatherman also and let them talk about their different sciences and then just compare notes. Yeah. The two have to be complemented and they have to be used.
Yeah.
And Kenya is a rich country, rich with cultures, rich with traditions, and we should embrace each other. Mm-hmm. That's what I can say.
Can you also tell us about goat intestines?
Yeah, yeah. The goat intestines also predict so many things, not just rain, but also wars, sickness, well-being, rivers, flooding, all those. So you slaughter a goat, and then the intestines, you know, the veins. The veins just show. The veins are actually like tributaries of the river. The darker they are, the more they predict water, rivers flowing. Then the thinner they are and a bit frail and without the rich color, then it's frail. It's not gonna rain.
And you know how to read this?
I know how to do it myself. I know how to read it myself. I've been taught. I saw it from since I was a child. So now I know. Even if sometimes when we slaughter a goat with my husband at home, we just do it for the sake of doing it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we let other people see what we are doing.
Yeah. Interesting. Now, pastoralists are the people who move from one place to another.
Yes.
Now, for this initiative for women in Kajiado, in Samburu, how do you make sure that they don't move from where they are to a different place, given that there's communal land and they've also planted these fruit trees and other trees? How do you help them not to move from one place to another?
In Kajiado these days, people have settled more and more. They still practice nomadic pastoralism, but it's the men who move. Women will stay with the children and older people. And a few cows will also be left behind. Right now, as I talk to you, my own cows are not at home because of nomadism, because recently there was no rain. Until it rained recently, we had moved. But we left 10 of them behind for milk. So that's how it is. Even where we have our resource center, it's more permanent now. People have settled. And in Kajiado, land has been subdivided, so people have their own homes now. So there's no movement as such. So it's easy now to tell people plant trees and they can plant it. Then the problem is if you don't fence off your home, you know, we live with our animals, we live with our goats, we live with our cows. So definitely they will interfere. And then also definitely, you know, pastoralist areas, rain is not a common thing. So still it's a problem. If you have no water, those trees may not even grow. But during a rainy season like now, it's possible to plant trees and they'll reach a certain level. Mm-hmm. And in the small farm that I told you about, women had planted trees and they've grown. We planted some also in the school, but they all died because there was no one to water them. And then plus the fence of our little school there is not good. And so the goats just finished all our trees.
Speaking about water, now for these women who are now in Samburu and Kajiado, how have you helped them now to get water apart from resource center? How much are we talking about? How much did you spend in the initiative? And is the Kenyan government doing much to help women?
No, I have never reached out to anyone, to be honest with you. Mm. I have done my own things my own way, with my staff and with my community. We did our little thing just on our own. I don't even think I've heard about that initiative by the vice president. Unfortunately, in this country, some things are done if you are not aware. And even if you are aware, you have to know someone to be able to get that help. And then this government cannot help everybody. Some of us just have to take our own initiatives and do the bit that we can do, and then wait for money to find us somewhere. Let money find you going. That's my motto. Mm-hmm. Let me do the little that I can do and let money follow. Mm-hmm. We cannot keep waiting.
Okay. Yeah. For these women, how are they getting water now?
These days we have a lot of initiatives. We have goodwill from some people. Like in Baragoi, we have a priest. We were in school with him, and now he's come back to give back to the community. And some vulnerable women have benefited from 10,000 liter tanks. That's the only way to do it. And then building just a small house where you can be able to put gutters and get rain water from the roof catchment. And then for in Kajiado, what I've seen most people do is that most people have a shallow well. Is it called a shallow well? A dam, sort of. Just a small dam where they can have their water. And if you don't have a dam, your neighbor could have a dam. And that's now purely surface runoff water. I also have surface runoff water. Believe it or not, I don't have tap water in my house. I don't. I also have rain catchment and dam water, just like everybody else. So when it's totally dry, they can come to me if I have. And if it's, we've never really had a time when we completely had to go and buy water, no. Somehow we have it in. And then in our resource center also, we wrote a proposal to another organization called Good Hands, and they did a borehole for us. And then the late Ngaiseri, we did a proposal, and we have a borehole. It is 3 cubic meters. Mm-hmm. It is not a lot. It's just enough for the irrigation of the little garden that we have. But also, during drought, we open it to the community.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. To not all of them, because otherwise it just gets dried. Mm-hmm. But I want to say we have plans.
Yeah.
We have plans. We are with my friends from Houston Church. They said they will help us with water. We're still discussing that. And by March next year, we shall have a solution for that.
Agnes Lena is the executive director and founder of Ilaramata Community Concerns and a pastoralist from Baragoi, Samburu County in northern Kenya. She works internationally with other indigenous communities and was a delegate to several United Nations conferences on climate change. There she worked with Mary Robinson, a former president of Ireland and former UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, whose Climate Justice Foundation supported women's leadership and getting gender into UN climate documents. The foundation closed its doors in 2019. Diana Wanyonyi interviewed Agnes Lena for Wings.
You also spoke about COP.
It was COP 19.
COP 19. What took you there and what are you presenting, Oma?
First of all, I must tell you that I belong to a network in Africa called Indigenous People of Africa Coordinating Committee. It's called IPAC. And in IPAC, I was elected as the gender coordinator. So I went there as IPAC gender coordinator to follow issues on gender. But when I went there, you just can't go real in the, and then say, poop, where is the gender and all that? No, you have to learn from the beginning to the end, from COP 1 to 19, what happened. And then for you to be able now to know where are the issues of gender, where have they reached? This is when I knew about Mary Robinson. She was the human rights representative at the UNHCR. And it's not easy. It was crazy. I just felt like, oh my God, I need to go back home. By the end of the day, my head is throbbing because it was running from one corner to the other and another and another and learning. What helped me is the Echo magazines that we were talking about today. You're given every morning. I never used to ignore because it really brought me to speed. And I also had an indigenous brother who was there. His name is Kimarin. He's really grown in this world until he's now, you know, he's I think the African representative in GEF that we were talking about, Green Environmental Facility. He's really grown.
Mm-hmm.
And he helped me to come to speed. Mm-hmm. And he too was learning. I learned about it. And after that, I continued coming to all the COPs except this year.
Mm-hmm.
This year, Mary Robinson, the one who used to take me, her foundation, closed down. And now she works with the elders. It's another movement, the elders, that was started by Nelson Mandela. And then IPAC, my organization, also did not have money to take everybody. So we just took a few people, and I gave up my position.
For indigenous, what were some of the aspects that you are fighting for to be included in the COP?
Well, we were going as a movement of indigenous people, not as Kenyans. Okay. Indigenous are traditional people, people who value and who follow their tradition, their cultures. And you know very well that pastoralist communities, not just the Maasai, Samburu, Turkana, are known for sticking by their cultures. And even Article 100, Article 55 in Kenya, in the Constitution, we are recognized as such. People who want to be recognized as people who stick to their culture. We are recognized as marginalized. We are recognized as pastoralists. We are recognized as minorities. 5 times we've been recognized in that constitution. So even the Kenyans who go from here, a group of us, we go as indigenous communities. And we are the ones who fought for indigenous knowledge to be included in the text in COP21, in the Paris Agreement, Article number 7. And now it's there. Wow. It's because of our effort. And we are happy with that. Because even if not just Kenyans, there are so many other communities, indigenous communities, like in South America, they're very strong. The movement there is much, much stronger than Africa. Because in Africa, there's this argument that everybody is indigenous, which is fine. If you feel that you're indigenous, come and join the movement. It's there. It's open for all. And then for South American, the situation is even worse than Kenya and other places in Africa. So for them, they even have to put up a bigger fight than we do. I don't think we have to fight so much to be indigenous in Kenya.
And what was the aim now of taking that initiative there? Apart from indigenous people to be recognized, what other aim for in terms of gender?
Well, you know very well that gender is a big issue worldwide, but we feel that gender equality or gender equity among pastoralist communities, women are already marginalized worldwide, say so to speak.
True.
But among pastoralist communities, it's triple or double marginalization because of, again, our culture. So we fight every now and then. There's nothing that comes to you in a silver platter here. You just have to voice yourself. You say, you have to talk. You have to shout for you to be included, like we did in Paris through Mary Robinson. Yeah, and eventually we got that text. And that text has everything, including human rights, and it also has inclusion of women, which is gender, and then it has inclusion of minorities and vulnerable communities and indigenous knowledge. All of them, yeah. Just read it. It's a very rich chapter.
Okay.
And the Paris Agreement is a very simple document. You can read it in a day and put everything in your mind.
That was Agnes Lena, an indigenous climate activist from the Herding region of Kenya, interviewed for Wings by Diana Wanyonyi. To hear this and other Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org or check our page at wings.org. Wings thanks all our friendly supporters, including Genevieve Vaughn, Suzette Cullen, and your local community radio station. Wings makes programs available to stations free of charge. Inquire by email, wings@wings.org. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
CFRC's funding drive is now underway and running through December 31st. Donate today and get amazing CFRC prizes. For every $5 you donate, earn a ticket towards one of our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from wonderful local businesses including Harper's Burger Bar, Hotel Wolf Island, Improbable Escapes, Kingston Canadian Film Festival, KPP Concerts, Long & McQuaid, Martello Alley, and Novel Idea. Enjoy the benefits of donating. Give today via cfrc.ca.
What's going on? What are you saying? What's going on? Tanya, don't ask you, then I'll say what.